Blog Talk Radio.
Life is a journey, not a destination. There are no mistakes, just chances we've taken. Lay down your regrets, 'cause all we have is now. Wake up in the morning and get out of bed. Start making mental list in my head of all of the things that I am grateful for. Early in the morning, the dawn of a new day, new hope, new dream, new way. I open up my eyes and I open up my mind and I wonder how life will surprise me today.
Here on 109.9 Penn Station. I have thought a little bit about getting one of those themed recordings. When the network owner and I were sitting down when the show was going to start, she picked the song as the intro, and it's so perfect for what it is that we talk about here at Living Abundantly. So I have just not been in any kind of rush to, you know, to get that recording. And I let it play, you know, probably much longer than I should have, but I think the words of that song are just so powerful, and it's so symbolic of what it is that we are attempting to do here in the changes that we want to make with our lives. And so, you know, I let it just play through, and so hopefully each week, you know, it just kind of ministers to your spirit like it does mine. It just kind of reminds me, you know, in those dull moments or the low moments or whatever, you know, that I have the choice to make each day positive, a beautiful day. And so I just wanted to share that. Excuse me. I hope your week has been as productive as you hoped it would be. and that you saw lots of little miracles and blessings along the way to keep you encouraged and going in the direction of following your dreams. On this thankful Thursday, I am thankful for the little things that bring me pleasure or that brings a smile to my face. Things like the sound of my child's laughter, waking up and everything is quiet and still and having a moment to myself to savor before rushing off to start the day, the ability to get lost inside a good book, the smell of my favorite incense burning. The list is endless of all these little small things. And, you know, those are often the things that we forget about. And that we are just busy and immersing ourselves in busyness. And life can be so overly stimulating. We're on the phone all day, and we are, you know, on the internet all day, and we're in front of the computer all day, and, you know, the bright lights and the movement. And it just seems like there's so few moments to just stop and pause and be still and recognize the beautiful things, you know, the beautiful moments that just make life worth living. I call them the little blessings that God gives to us. So, you know, whatever your thing is, whether it's wildflowers along the roadside or the sound of a bird singing its song or the feel of sun upon your face or the wind whipping through your hair or anything like that, you know, water running through your fingers. You know, there are things that mean something to us, and they are insignificant. You know, just really small things, you know, on the grand spectrum of things, but it means something to us, and so it means something to God, too. And sometimes we just forget to not sweat the small stuff, and then when we look at the whole big picture of life, we realize that, you know, compared to, you know, everything in grand spectrum, you know, mostly things that we struggle with and things that we strive for, it's small stuff. You know, it's stuff that, you know, can mean something, but it doesn't always mean something. And so, you know, I guess part of our process then and our ability to live abundantly is to learn not to sweat small stuff, you know, and to recognize and to be able to prioritize and decide what's important, you know, and what isn't. And so I tend to be a pretty neat person, and I grew up in a house where it was so clean, we could have eaten off of our bathroom floors, you know, and I have a child, you know, and she is not quite nearly as neat as I would prefer for things to be, and so no matter how many tubs and containers I buy for all her million little toys, and, you know, and it's like the stuff's right there, and yet there's still, you know, things on the floor, papers and toys and little high heels, and I'm having to learn to say, you know what, it's really not that serious, okay, so you won't be eating off my floor. It's not filthy, but it's not, it definitely isn't the environment that I grew up in, you know, but she's happy, and, you know, and everything that we need is met, every need that we have is met, you know, we've got shelter, and, you know, and she's clean, and she's fed, and we have room to play, and, you know, and those sorts of things. And so, you know, when she goes away and spends the night somewhere, you know, I can go in there and clean her room to my standard, you know, and for a day or two, you know, it looks the way I would want it to look, and I'm happy about that. But then, you know, when she's home and, you know, things are messy, you may have to draw the line with, you know, you pulling everything out and just leaving it. But, you know, a piece of paper on the floor or, you know, something not completely put away the way I would want it to be, to my standard of perfection, you know, that's small stuff, you know, but, and I really need not stress myself out about it. So I've just decided that I'm just not going to, you know, so just using that as an example of just some of the stuff that we can decide that we're just not going to allow to control our lives, you know, and, and if I'm stressed, then I'm stressing her, and then it just makes for an unpleasant situation. And so, life's too short to spend it stressed, and I'm deciding that I'm just not going to go there, and so I haven't been. So one of the things I've been doing over the past week is gathering data for my next book, and this book has been a labor of love for me, much like my novel, Season of Change, had. Both of those projects I thought would have been out years and years before. I mean, probably to the tune of, you know, 10 years or more, you know, they should have been out, and it was a very frustrating journey, and to start and have to stop due to, you know, all sorts of issues, you know, money issues and all kinds of stuff. You know, when you're putting projects and stuff out there, you know, those things take effort and they take support and they take people who know what they're doing and people who operate with integrity and, you know, and money. Did I mention that they needed money? Okay, yeah. So, you know, I had all these kinds of things going on, and I thought that these projects would have been out years before. And, you know, sometimes things can be delayed. The timing of things can be delayed, but, you know, that which is supposed to be will ultimately be. And so, you know, my novel didn't actually come out until last year, you know, and it was like being pregnant, you know, for all those years and then finally giving birth to the vision that had been there. So I'm working on my next book, and it's called After the Rain, Poetry Collective. And it's been very interesting. It's had me going back over years of my life. And it's funny how I can remember who was in my life or what I was going through or even how I felt when I go back and I read those poems. And so that book is almost acting as like a timeline in my life. And, yeah, it's been interesting. I'll just say that. It has been interesting. I'm thinking that the book is going to be ready by the end of first quarter next year. And so, you know, because I don't have any more writing to do on it. It's just a matter of gathering data and getting somebody to design the cover and, you know, stuff like that. So I am excited because I know that, you know, here another project is actually coming to pass. And so things that I had dreamt about long ago are actually manifesting in my life. And I don't know if you heard the timeline I was talking about there, but, you know, these were dreams that, you know, had been given, you know, for years. And you know, you think it's going to happen at a certain time, but they happen when they happen sometimes. And so, you know, for those of you who are, I kind of digress a little bit, for those of you who are kind of struggling right now and feeling like your dreams are deferred, don't give up. But anyway, back to what I was saying. And so this is, as I have been gathering the data for this book, it's been an interesting emotional trip back in time. And I can see how far I've come. And I can see the areas where I haven't grown very much, too. And all that time, I can compare and contrast where I was softer and gentler versus, you know, where life has been making me, you know, harder on the edges or whatever. I can see, you know, where I have, you know, where I've kind of mellowed out in time or, you know, where I've been like, you know, I'm putting up some walls here. And but what has stood out to me the most were those sweet, lovely moments that will be forever etched in my mind, tender moments or kind words or a special look. Significant moments that will ride on time. There's a scripture that talks about a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in settings of silver. And, you know, you hear that and you think, what in the world are they talking about? But it means that, you know, silver and gold are two kind of contrasting metals. You know, they look completely different, and they usually don't put them together. One is kind of considered, you know, the gold is kind of considered, you know, more warm and stuff like that, and silver is considered more of the cooler tones, and so you usually don't see them mixed together. And so it would be like a contrasting thing. And so, you know, someone speaking a fitting word, you know, into your life at a time when it's a struggle, you know, that would be like your apples of gold and settings of silver. It's a contrasting thing. They're speaking a word of life, a word of love, a word of encouragement, you know, at a time when you really need it and when you feel, you know, down and not quite sure you're going to be able to make it through, or, you know, whatever the situation may be. And so some of those circumstances and some of those experiences I remember as being my apples of gold and settings of silver. So it's been nice kind of going back and looking back over my life and being able to tap into how I felt at those times. You know, whether it be good, bad, you know, funny, whatever. And but the feeling is important, because when you are trying to decide what kind of relationship you want to be in, I know we talked a little bit about this before, not usually people know what they don't want, but they haven't taken the time to actually figure out what it is that they do want. And, I'm sorry, I should mention that we are in the midst of our healthy relationship series, and so this stuff just kind of ties right back in with that. So, you know, we know what we don't want. Oh, I don't want somebody who smokes, or I don't want somebody who drinks all the time, or, you know, I don't want anybody with kids, or, you know, whatever. You fill in the blank of whatever it is that you feel that you don't want. The situation with that is the law of attraction will send you whatever it is you're focusing on. So if you focus on what it is that you don't want, everything it is that you're saying that you don't want continues to keep coming because you haven't told the universe what it is that you do want. So when you're trying to figure out what you are hoping to attract or wanting to attract in this next person who's going to come into your life, you have to sit down and say, okay, these are the things I don't. These are the things I do want. Excuse me. So you know, it wouldn't be, oh, I don't want a smoker. It would be, I want a non-smoker. You know, so I don't want someone to drink drinks. You know, you wouldn't say that. You would say, you know, I want someone who drinks infrequently. You know, or whatever. And I want someone who is drug and disease free. I want someone who hasn't been married. And so I want someone who spends time with me. I want someone who makes me a priority. You know, and so whatever those things are that are important to you, you have to kind of get to, you know, the bottom of what it is that you do want. And so I'm going to go back to the ceiling there for a minute because I know there have been people who have come into your life and, you know, they just, whether they are in your life, you know, like an active presence or it's just somebody that you just crossed paths with, there are, you know, things that you remember and you remember how a person made you feel. And, I'm just thinking about like even a small child, you know, for someone who, there are some kids who have doting parents who make them feel so loved and they feel so wanted and they feel like they are, you know, a valuable part of the family and a valuable part to society and they have made them feel like they can do anything. And so they remember that feeling and then they grow up and then they attract someone who gives them that same feeling too, that same feeling of, I want you. I desire your presence. And but then, you know, for the one who has been rejected or ignored or made to feel like they are not important or like they are a burden or, an issue that has to be dealt with versus, you know, a worthwhile part of the family, you know, that person grows up with a different set of feelings and would tend to attract someone who, you know, doesn't feed into the good feelings because all they know is this feeling. And so, you know, when you are really trying to work this law of attraction stuff, you kind of have to get to a place where you can tap into the feelings that you want. And it can be difficult to do that in an area where you've really not had it before. You know, if all you've had is the negative stuff, if all you've had is people talking down to you or, you know, saying mean things or, you know, pushing you away or not being present or, you know, whatever it is, then it's very difficult to attract what it is that you're actually wanting because of the feeling. But I would encourage you to look at many situations. How do you feel when you read a book and the characters in the book have what you want? How do you feel? You know, it's still a feeling. It may not be tapped into something that you have actually had happen in your own life, but it still is a feeling that you can tap into and draw into your life. And how does that feel? How does it feel when you go into a place and someone is, they are genuinely just happy that you are there. They're happy to see you, and you can see that all over their face. And it comes, you get a feeling from it. How do you feel when someone gives you a compliment and tells you how beautiful you are and opens the door for you, you know, or how handsome you are, you know, and they're glad to see you? You know, those things mean something. But on the same way, you know, you could also, you know, have people who make you feel small or stupid or insignificant. And so when you are trying to decide what it is that you want, you know, the universe to bring back into your life, in addition to your list of, I want this or, I want this, and then you fill in the blank with whatever it is, you also need to decide how it is that you want the person who's coming into your life. You have a need to feel like you are partnered, you know, with that person. That's significant. You know, do you need to feel like you matter? Do you need the person to, you know, show you time? What is it that you need? And so those things are important and they mean something. And so you know, I'm going to just encourage you to find some kind of way to be able to tap into the feeling of whatever it is that you are longing for so that you can actually start having the life that you want by design. So, you know, the law of attraction can be very challenging to put in place when you haven't been used to doing it, you know, and it will seem sometimes like you are doing so much and it still doesn't always feel like it's enough, you know, but you learn and you grow and you do what you can do. And, you know, when we first started doing the radio show, we spent months on the foundational principles of the law of attraction and, you know, stuff like that and how to get all this stuff, you know, really working. And so hopefully by now you've started kind of really thinking about what it is that you want so that you can put those things down. So we know that, you know, a dream that is not written down, it's just a dream. It doesn't become an actual goal until you write it down. So, you know, you need to tap into some things and write that stuff down so that you can go back and refer to it. There's a scripture in Habakkuk that talks about writing the vision and making it plain so that he who runs may read it and not tarry. For though the vision tarry, wait for it, for it will surely come. And so what that's talking about is writing the vision. And so the person who's running is you. You are the person. I am the person who is running with it. You know, we have been given, you know, kind of a vision for our lives. We have, you know, this internal thing that we know that we want, and it's there, and it means something. And so we are shooting for it and reaching for it, and which is, you know, what we have been doing, you know, throughout the months of doing the show, you know, just reaching in there and trying to bring this stuff to reality. And, you know, you get in there and you do what you can do. Back to the scripture, talking about writing the vision and making it plain, you need to be able to refer back to it. And it's saying that even though it tarries, so it's going to take a minute for everything to come to pass, it's also telling you that it's not going to wait forever. You know, you're not going to be on hold forever waiting on it to happen. And so you need to write the vision, because there will be times and there will be moments when you really feel weak and tired and discouraged and frustrated, like, really? You know, it's been years and it still hasn't happened, or it's been months and it still hasn't happened, you know. And so you are writing the vision and making it plain so that you can go back and encourage yourself. You know, not only that, but, you know, when God has given a vision to someone, say, for instance, you know, he's given a vision to the person who's the head of a company, you know, he doesn't give the vision to everyone in the company. He gives the vision to the head of that company, and then it becomes the responsibility of that person to be able to convey that vision in such a way that those who are on board and who are a part of the team will be able to catch the vision and see it. But they're not given the vision. Only the head is given the vision. And so, you know, if you're finding that people are just kind of not really understanding what it is that you're trying to do with your life, it's because they don't have the vision. They don't know what it is that God has spoken to you. They don't know what it is that's really that has been germinating on the inside of you and that you're ready to give birth to. They don't get it in the same way that you get it. You just have to figure out a way to be able to share it so that they can catch the vision and then come on board. You know, it's so important to be linked up with people who are like-minded and to be able to seek counsel, too. There's another scripture that talks about that, too, seeking counsel. And so speaking of seeking counsel, how that applies to this is, you know, when you are working on your list, you know, I would say get with someone that you really trust and someone who really knows you, because, you know, you'll be, you know, working on the list, and so since this is the list that you're going to, you know, write, seal, and put somewhere and send it up to the universe and never really deal with it again, it needs to be complete, because this is what you are expecting to come back, and then you're going to go on and do it like the farmer and sleep and rise. And so, you know, you need to have someone who you trust to be privy to that kind of stuff, and who will speak truth into your life. And so, you know, someone who will say to you, oh, you missed something, you know. You know, if this is an area of weakness for you, so you need to have someone who is strong in the area that would be opposite in that area, someone who's strong where you're weak, you know. And so, you know, because we are, you know, men and women are designed differently. And so, you know, it really irritates me when I hear, you know, people saying, you know, that we can't make it together. That's such a lie. And, you know, we were designed to make it together. We're not supposed to be the same. You know, you have two people, you know, functioning with the same strengths and weaknesses, and you have this whole area that is left uncovered. And so, you know, women have their strengths and men have their strengths. And they're supposed to complement each other. And they are designed to do that. And so, you know, if we can stop expecting them to operate like we do, then we can reach a better place of understanding and to tap into it and to say, okay, yes, let me understand better, you know, how this person, you know, functions here. So sometimes we think someone is being negative. When they're not being negative, they are just getting a different portion of the vision. I'm speaking of couples, you know, a couple who are together. You know, a man may have an idea or something he wants to do, you know, and he's ready to, you know, to push everything out there, and she's like, we need to kind of think about that and do some other things. And, you know, and he may feel like, well, you're being negative, and she's not being negative, but she's thinking, okay, we have children. We have, you know, we have responsibilities, so we can't just take every dime we have and put into that, but we can plan a way to be able to do it. You know, where we can still make sure that the needs are met too. You know, so it's just a matter of just, you know, respecting where the other person is, and respecting them enough to really hear what it is that they have to say. So many times, you know, we get together with people, and the only thing we want to hear is what we want to hear. You know, but the truth is, you need people who will speak truth into your life. You know, and sometimes we're out of order. And sometimes, you know, we just need a little tap on the shoulder that says, you know, hey, you're kind of veering. You're not quite where you need to be. And so, you know, and we may be veering off course. You know, if I love someone, I'm not going to let them just veer off course and not say anything. I'm not going to let you see you getting ready to run into a brick wall and not say something. I can't do it, you know. And, you know, even if it's just an agape love for you, you know, a God's love that says, you know, hey, you know, you might want to not do that, you know. Why don't you go this route instead? That's not really, you know, a great path. I can't make a person do a thing. They're going to do what they want to do, but they'll never be able to say that nobody had told them that they didn't know. And so, you know, we can speak truth. We need to speak it in love, you know, not be beating people up. And I know there are folks out there who just love to get a digging. I can't stand that, you know, but we don't need to tear people down, you know, in order to get a point across. You know, I always say, look at how Jesus deals with us. He doesn't, you know, even when we are at our worst and really being foul about stuff, you know, he doesn't eat us up. He just says what he needs to say, and it's loving, and it's gentle, and it's enough to just like, oh, okay, yep, let me get myself back together here. I'm having a behavior or two, you know. So we're dealing with, you know, relationships and division and all this kind of stuff, you know. Now, granted, you know, sometimes we are in relationships that are not healthy, and so the people around us know that, and they will talk about it, you know. You know, it's not okay for them to be sitting around gossiping about you, you know, but if they see you, you know, heading towards that brick wall I talked about, you know, they should say, you know, hey, you know, this person that you're with, you know, they're not right, and you might not want to go that route. You might need to get out of that. You know, this person's not really for you, you know. And it's up to you, it's up to me, you know, to be able to receive that, you know, and see if the truth is we already know. You know, we know when something is right for us, we know when something isn't. And we hang on for so many different reasons. Sometimes we hang on to stuff because we're lonely. Sometimes we hang on because we have an ulterior motive. You know, we have an agenda. Sometimes we hang on because we made a promise. You know, we promised something that we shouldn't have because we didn't seek God to find out what his plan was for us. And so we just are speaking stuff. And so we, you know, speaks about, and then the next thing you know, we've made this promise, and then we feel honor-bound to what it is that we said, even though we are so far off and we will damage our own selves by doing it. You know, honor shouldn't destroy you, okay? You know, and sometimes if it's long, it's just long, and sometimes you have to honor yourself. I mean, what is that? You know, you do it because, you know, your family told you to. You know, you marry this one because your mama likes that one, but you really, your heart's somewhere else. You know, do you really think, and I have seen this kind of stuff so many times, people who really have a great love will just be willing to hold that love. I tend to see it more with men more than I do with women, though. You know, women tend to, if we love you, you know, we want it, and let's just go for it. You know, baby, I'm with you to the end. It doesn't matter what you have, what you don't have. Let's just work through this thing, you know. But men sometimes are a little bit different. You know, they will let go the one that they love, you know, to pursue a dream, to, you know, to honor somebody that they spoke something to that they shouldn't have, that they know is all wrong for themselves. You know, leave what they want, truly, leave what they really want in their hearts and marry someone because the approval of their mother means so much or the approval of their dad means so much and the family ain't really feeling that one, you know. But inside they know. And so, you know, I say, I don't know, I have a different logic about all of that. You know, life is too short to spend it miserable. And, you know, the truth is, you know, whoever it is that you feel like you need to be, you know, giving your dreams to, those people have already lived their lives. They're doing exactly what they want to do. Do you really think that they're going to stop what they're doing for you? Nah. You know, they don't. They do what they want to do. And so, you know, okay, fine. So, you know, your mother didn't like her. Okay. But in your heart, if you really knew it was the right thing, then okay, then go for it. You know, but we, like I said, we know when it's not the right thing too. We already know. And usually we know something, you know, right away. Yep. Yeah, you're good for filling in space. I have encountered some very interesting men since I started doing this relationship series. Actually, right before that. And, you know, I say all the time that, you know, when the student is ready, the teacher appears. And so, you know, in preparation for being able to do this series, I needed to have perspectives that were other than my own. And so last month I broadcast with a gentleman named Derek Sanders that has really, really interesting insights, you know, and he would bring it from a male perspective and from a biblical perspective as well. And I would see a different side, you know, to some of this stuff. But, you know, he was saying that when a man pursues, actually when he sees a woman, he already knows exactly what it is that he wants from the moment that he sees her, you know, and he should make his intentions clear. You know, a lot of times they don't, and, you know, I know I've been in the midst of that circumstance too many times where, you know, someone has, they have another agenda. That's the whole thing. You know, they may want what they want, and they figure by not having any boundaries or not being clear about what the boundaries are, that they can just do whatever they want to do. And then, you know, if you want to call them on it, then it's, oh, well, we hadn't said anything, or, you know, what made you think, you know, I wanted you in that kind of way, or, you know, if I wanted you, fill in the blank, you know, whatever. But the truth is, you know, it was all kind of a game. Let me see how much I can get from you without having to put forth all of me and get a commitment or give up a commitment. And, you know, it's lying. It's lying by omission, you know, and people deserve the truth. If someone's giving you the truth, then you should give the truth back. You wouldn't want someone lying to you. And I say all the time that we have to be careful of the seeds that we sow, because those things will come back. And is it worth it? You know, do you want someone who's lying to you? Do you want someone who's cheating on you? Do you want someone who's doing stuff behind your back? And the answer to that is no. You know, we don't want those things So, you know, we need to be the things that we are requesting of other people. You know, I know sometimes you'll see folks and it seems like they don't have any part of their own lives together, you know, and they're not really trying to be excellent in any way, and yet they want, you know, someone who is excellent. And so, well, in that case, no, you don't have the right to demand that because you aren't willing to be that, you know. But for someone who is willing to be what they're asking, yeah, they have the right to ask it back. If I am dealing with you honestly, yes, you need to be honest with me. You know, if I'm dealing with you openly, yes, you need to be open with me. If I am respecting your space and staying out of your things, yes, you need to respect my space and stay out of my things too. If I am dealing with you like a trustworthy individual, then please deal with me that same way. And if it's at the point where you feel like you need to be, you know, snooping and going through folks' stuff and all that, then the truth is, you know, you already know what's up, you know, because your inner voice, your intuition has already told you what the deal is. You know, you already know that you're dealing with something, with a situation that there has been a trust breach. You already know this, you know, so is it really worth all that? Is it worth the drama that it's going to take, you know, to try and put it all back together, you know, the conversations, the arguments, you know, the games we play, the stuff that just wastes time. Time is valuable, and time is precious. We don't have it to just be throwing away, even though, you know, we do, and we do it often. We just throw it away like we just have limitless amount of it. And in this plane, we just don't, you know. And so you need to be authentic, and you need to be honest, and you need to put forth the best, because that is what you want back. You want people to give you everything they've got. But if you're only giving a little bit, why should someone give you everything they've got? What's in it for the other person? You know, remember, relationships are give and they're take. They give and they take. You know, and it's not always 50-50, you know, because, you know, one person may be at a better place and the other person may be lower for a time. But it should be an ebb and a flow where it's constantly, you know, waving back and forth. You know, yep, I'm weak when you're strong. You're strong when I'm weak. And we go back and forth. You know, but if you're always just take, and not giving to anyone, you know, you're out of order. You are out of order. You know, and I have seen situations, you know, where someone will, a lot of times it's the man, sorry, I'm not picking on this, not pick on men night, you know, or anything like that, but, you know, a lot of times it's a man, you know, or whatever, and he'll be like, oh, you know, oh, she's just too needy. Well, sometimes there are women who are just too needy, you know, and they are expecting you to, you know, to build them up and do everything for them. And then there are times when they're not being too needy, you're just being selfish, you know. Asking for someone to return your phone call is not someone being too needy, you know. And so a lot of times we throw away situations or good situations or, you know, good people, good possibilities of something beautiful because we're selfish and we don't want to give anything back. And, you know, but you want stuff. And I guess, you know, I'm of a different mindset, and I guess I'm wired differently, you know, than that. And I have no problem partnering with someone. You know, I'll give you my best, but don't give me your least and then expect my best, you know. So, you know, that it just is what it is. And we have choices that we have to make. I mean, no one can make you be an honest person. No one can make you be a person of integrity. No one can make you do anything. You have to really want to do that on your own. You have to have the integrity on the inside of you that says, this is who I want to be, you know. This is who I want to be. When people think of me, when people see me, you know, I want them to see someone who treats people right. That is what I want. You know, I want to be known as someone who does that, you know, and I don't want to just be taking all the time. I know that I need to kind of get that. And, you know, it's kind of interesting because, you know, life is set up that way, you know, and I know that God purposely did that. Like, you know, those humans, they're so doggone selfish. They, you know, they had that bend towards selfishness. So I'm going to just, you know, I will make it so that they have to depend on each other, you know, and sometimes, it can be a blessing to depend on others, you know, and other times not. It just kind of depends on if the person accepts the responsibility of their role, you know, of their assigned role, you know, in your life or not. And I want to read this poem. I found it. I haven't quite decided if I'm going to let this one be in the book or not. It's one of my favorite ones. It's called Beautiful You. And you just take from it what you will. The words that soothe my soul. I cast tulip petals into the wind in awe of your beauty. I have never not loved you. You put the synchronization into each beat of my heart. I create new arias to sing in honor of all that you are to me. A cacophony of world events becomes the most beautiful symphony when I look in your eyes. You are exquisite, leaving me wishing that I could sculpt, forever etching your magnificence for all the world to see, behold. My heart burns joyfully thinking of that moment before time began, when he created you, knowing that in this moment the world would witness your grace. That I might be able to touch your face, I have been so strategically placed to know you. I have never not known you, have never not loved you. I smiled thinking we were probably sweet mates on the other side before the Trinity decided it was time for us to come here. I am rendered speechless, words coming only in the form of colors. My love burns blue for you, delving into places I never knew existed inside of me, filled with serenity and peace. Nothing has ever felt more right than loving you. Hope springs, daffodil blossoms, tenderly unleashing my innermost desires. Your arms wrap me in lavender lullabies. Eyelid fringes of your love keeps me grounded, focused. I cry crimson tears of hurt, pain, disappointment that you and I are not to be. I hoped you'd be Isaac for me. I prayed you'd be Isaac for me. Instead, you were a butterfly with marmalade wings, leaving your sweetness upon my skin as you fluttered away. You were so beautiful. I dreamt of holding you in the night, where only the moonlight's glow cast kisses upon my ebony brow from your lips. Can't believe we've never done more than hand-holding, not when you live inside of me as if you've been inside of me, exchanging your love for my own. You've come to me, for me, with arms and eyes open, yet we miss each other. I, orbiting around your sun, you, orbiting around my moon, entire worlds existing between us. This life will be over soon. Transcend earthly obstacles with me. Come, beautiful one, spend eternity with me. I was so happy when I found it. I thought that I had it saved on my hard drive, and I guess I'm going to have to go back through my files and stuff. And this was one of my favorite poems from, well, yeah, I guess it transcends time, kind of like, you know, like the words in the poem does. But yeah, and I was glad to what I found it today, actually, and you know, to be able to share it. But you know, sometimes the heart just, you know, we just love who we love, and you know, we can't. I don't believe in chaining souls. We can't make somebody else want us. You know, either they do or they don't. Either they're willing or they're not. And so, you know, but it doesn't change how you feel. And so, you know, for those of you who are struggling right now, and you're struggling because, you know, your heart is where it is, and you're not getting what you need from the person who has your heart, you know, sometimes you have to just put that person in his own little private, you know, little cave or whatever, you know, and just you have this sacred love, and it's a beautiful thing. But there are times you need to keep yourself open for new love to come in from somebody else. You know, if they're not willing, are you going to keep your whole life on hold waiting? You know, is that fair to you? Is that fair to the possibility of, you know, of what could be when there's someone who's willing now to love you? You know, there's someone who's willing now to be there for you. There's someone who's saying, you know, hey, you know, I want to spend a life with you. And so, you know, it may not be that person. You know, we talked a little bit earlier in this broadcast about, you know, people who love who they love, and they still choose what they choose, and they're willing to not be with the person that they love for whatever their reasons are. I don't understand that. I'm just being very honest. I am so not wired like that, you know. And for me, there's nothing, you know, so serious going on in my life that I can't make room for love. But, you know, but other people aren't wired like I am. And like I said, I don't get it, you know, but I do know that, you know, at some point you have to make a decision. And it's like, okay, are you going to put your life on hold for decades waiting on someone? You know, how long has it been already? My great-grandfather used to say that if a man didn't marry you within a year, he wasn't serious. I was talking to Derek. He agreed. You know, that ties in with those intentions again, you know. And so, you know, for those of you who are, you know, wanting to, you know, be married and you're dealing with someone and it seems that they're kind of stringing you along or they're not giving you what it is that you need, you may have to make that decision to just love them right where they are. But as you're loving them where they are, you're moving on to where you need to be. You're moving on to someone who's willing. And that's okay. You know, you don't have to beat them up about where they are. It just is what it is. And they have the right to decide whatever it is they want to decide. I mean, you know, we do make decisions, and those decisions affect other people. You know, but do you really want to be with someone who feels like you twisted their arm for them to be there? You know, do you want to be with someone who will look at you and feel like they resent you because you required something of them that they weren't willing to give on their own? And I don't know about you, to me that's a high price to pay. You know, I don't want to look at someone and know that inside they resent me, you know, for, you know, because they had to give up something that they didn't want to give. Now, other times, you know, it's not a matter of having to give stuff up. Sometimes you can really just include someone right in with whatever it is that you're doing, you know. There's a scripture that talks about, you know, first of all, a three-cord strand not being easily broken, you know. But then there's another one that talks about, you know, two have a greater reward than one. And so, you know, whether that's in, you know, in spiritual warfare or in, you know, in partnership, two can accomplish more than one can. And I know sometimes it seems like, well, but I don't have time or I don't have the energy to pour into that. Yes, but you are doing twice as much as you have to do that if you got with your partner, you know, who has the opposite of what you have, and then the two of you together build the empire together. You know, not everyone wants to be with someone who has been, who's already at the top. Some women can really, or some men even, can deal with someone who's in their process. You know, not for me personally, I don't know how I feel about getting with someone after I've already made it. You know, I want to know that you could be with me when, you know, when the chips were down and when I didn't have anything, when I was struggling my way through. I would want to know that you could be there for me, you know, then, that you were just as comfortable eating beanies and weenies as you would be eating, you know, filet mignon and caviar. And, you know, that's just me. You know, I'm not trying to force my thoughts on anyone. I'm just sharing. So, you know, but, you know, different people have their own designs. But sometimes we cut ourselves off from the blessings that are there for us and waiting because they're tied to other people, you know, and it's fine. You know, they get to choose what it is that they want to choose, and they get to deal with whatever problems with whatever they've chosen. But so many times our lives are just tied to each other, you know, and if we understood how much so they were, we would not hesitate to obey. I think I say that a lot because it's true, you know. You may get instructions to give someone, you know, five, and you're thinking, this person is wearing Prada. I'm not giving them no $5. I'd be looking at you like I'm crazy. And yet, you know, you didn't know the person got it from the thrift store, you know, and that they just, you know, have this special grace to be able to, you know, to make it work. And so they look like $1 million because they're, you know, spiritually they're worth $1 million. And they were designed to, you know, to be great, but they don't really have any money. They don't have anything. You know, they're on fumes. You know, and so God doesn't have to tell you everybody's business. You should just obey that he told you to. You know, whatever it is he's telling you to do, you know it's for a reason. You know, when you are having situations, don't you want someone to obey when he's talking to them about you? When he tells them, you know, hey, you know, give that person a call, or hey, send that person some money, or, you know, hey, I need you to speak this word to that person's life. Don't you need those things? Don't you want someone to be there when, and to be obedient to him regarding you? Then you need to be obedient to him regarding others. When he lays something on your heart to do for somebody else, it's not, you know, he doesn't have anything to do. You know, there's stuff attached to it. And the truth is, you know, not only is there stuff attached to for the person who has the need that he told you to pour into, but there's stuff attached to your obedience, too. The obedience opens other doors and stuff for you, you know, but your disobedience will close doors as well, you know. And so he just sits back and he waits to see, you know, heart matters mean stuff to God. You know, he wants to know, like, you know, do you care about other people as much as you care about yourself? You know, do you care that this person is hurting? Do you care that they're going through right now? You know, and sometimes it seems like it's hardest to pour into others when you have so little going on in your own life or so much going on that you have to pour so little of yourself left because you're pouring everything into building and trying to make it. And yet, you know, sometimes the very thing that you need for your breakthrough is to take the focus off of you and to put the focus on someone else, and then bam, the door opens, just like that. You know, so those are just things to think about. But I hope that, and I'm going to end the broadcast a little early tonight, but I hope that you really just kind of take some time and think about what it is that you want and the need to prioritize. You know, your priorities need to match God's priorities for your life. I'm going to say that again. Your priorities need to match God's priorities for your life. You know, if he has one agenda and you have a completely separate agenda, you need to scratch your agenda and get on board with his. We're not talking about the man next door. We're talking about the one who made heaven and earth and who can see around every corner, who's already at the end, who's at the beginning, and who's everywhere in between. So, you know, if your agenda isn't matching his, get off your agenda and get on his, you know, because ultimately his agenda is the one that will take you where you're trying to go, and it will be the most direct route to get you there. You can keep doing stuff your own way. I mean, that's always your choice, you know, but it costs you, and it costs you way more sometimes than you are willing to have to pay. Is it worth it? Is it worth it? Keep doing stuff your own way when you know he's telling you to go over here and do it this way. You know, so there is an indirect route that will take you as long as it takes you, you know, to get where you're trying to go. And that's the route you're on. And then there is the direct route that will take you exactly where you're trying to go. But that's doing it his way. So you get to decide, you know, in all things we get to decide, you know, and God is, he's merciful, and he's a gentleman. And so he never forces his opinion on us. He just lets us be right where we are. And he also lets us get to deal with the consequences of being right where we are, too. You know, so, you know, really think about it and really figure out where your priorities are. And spend some time over this weekend seeking God and asking him what his priorities are for your life and where you need to make some adjustments and what the things are that you need to do. And he'll start just telling you, you know, he'll tell you one thing to do. You know, he's not going to overwhelm you and have you do 15 things at once. He knows us. We can't handle that. That'll just lead us to inactivity and rebellion. I'm not doing nothing. I got nothing to do. You know, that kind of thing. So, you know, he'll give you one thing to do. And then when you do that one thing, then he'll give you the next step. But he will make it so that it's not overwhelming to you. Your life should not be overwhelming to you. Not unless it's overwhelmingly good. That's a life I could stand. I'm going to wrap it up. But, you know, if you wish to follow me and to get more of the inspirational messages, you can do so. You can find me on Facebook. I am Tamika, T-U-M-I-K-A, Patrice Kane. So that's Tamika Patrice Kane on Facebook. And then on Twitter, it's at Tamika Patrice. And it's not too late to share the gift of a good book with those who are on your Christmas list. My award-winning novel, Season of Change, is available as hard copy, as well as on all e-readers. The e-reader downloads are only $1.99. Great bargain. Fits right into your Christmas budget, I'm sure. If you'd like to get autographed copies of the book, you can order directly from my website. But whichever method you choose, you know, the links to all the retailers can be accessed directly from my website. Just click on any company logo, and it will take you directly to my seller's page on those sites. You know, and then for the hard copies, it would be through PayPal. Okay. In the upcoming week, I hope you take some time for yourself. It's so easy to forget what's truly important this time of the year. We get caught up in the traditions and trying to please everyone and, you know, just all this stuff, you know, the shopping and, you know, and everything. But being authentic means listening to that voice on the inside of you that tells you when you've had enough. It will urge you to not go into debt for one day. Is it really worth that? I used to do that. Oh, goodness. I would have, you know, a budget set for everyone and then turn on and spend that whole budget on one person, you know what, and then spend much trying to catch up. So ridiculous for one day. Nah, you know, it'll tell you not to spend too much time in the presence of caustic people. It'll tell you not to eat foods that'll make you pay for it, you know, or going to be making you sick. You know, it will lead you into the truth of what's best for you. It'll tell you, hey, lay down and take a nap. You are tired. You know, you need to rest. So, you know, that voice of authenticity is always trying to lead you into your best life. Listen to it. It's the voice of the Holy Spirit talking to you and telling you, you know, hey, I'm here to partner with you. I'm here to help make your life better. Listen to me. I know what's best for you. So, you know, listen to that quiet voice and heed it and do what it tells you to do, you know. Now, let me just go ahead and put this disclaimer out there. You know, the voice of God will never tell you to go out there and kill someone. Okay? You know, he will not tell you to do anything, you know, crazy and, you know, set houses on fire and all that kind of stuff. So, you know that the voice of God will lead you into love, and it will lead you into truth. It will lead you into righteousness. It will not lead you away from it. So you never have to wonder about that. If you're hearing strange, crazy voices, trust me when I tell you that it's not the voice of God. Okay? All right. Well, you get back to hell where it came from and keep it moving. But, you know, just remember to make each day a great day on purpose. Good night.